Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the one just heard from the book of Acts. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text we've just heard is a difficult one to hear for more reasons than one. And if I'm being honest with you, I'm not so sure I would have heard this text very well when I first began my seminary career. And I guess I should admit, maybe I don't hear it quite as well today. Thank you, Dr. Veltz. But that's a discussion for another time. You see, 4 years ago, my classmates and I sandwiched ourselves into those first pews in the right side of the chapel, not really knowing what to expect. Gathered here for opening service, we were excited about where we were at and the contagious excitement of the entire experience of being on this campus infected us all. We had no idea what to expect, but we knew why we were here. We were here on purpose. We were here to get into the ministry that we had aspired to, some of us for years, and we were ready to get started. And caught up in the entire experience of opening service, I actually remember very little of what happened during that hour. But I'll never forget a handful of words Dr. Meyer preached in his sermon. And those words continue to ricochet around my heart and mind to this day, although I'm not so sure I hear them in Dr. Meyer's own voice or Craig Ryder's. The words echo still. It's a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said. And for a bright-eyed, wet-behind-the-ear first-year seminarian sitting in those pews, those were exactly the words I wanted to hear. Words that will instill confidence. Words that will affirm my aspirations. Words that will propel me out of this chapel and launch me into the world, into one of the greatest callings of all time. I left this chapel on that sticky, sweaty St. Louis summer day, all fired up. It felt like a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure for many of you, you've experienced something similar. And that's why you continue to sit here today. But I think the words, it's a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fired up feeling and attitude that comes along with them, make this text a difficult one to hear. Because you open up to the book of Acts, read chapter 6 and 7, and read a few stories that seem like the exact opposite of a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. 4 years ago, I would have wanted to close up the book, throw away the story, forget it all together. Because, I mean, you open it and you read it and you see a church that's full of complaints. That ideal model of an early church doesn't look quite so pristine anymore. The complaints arise, cultures clash, generations collide, and socioeconomic issues rear their ugly head. Maybe it's not such a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's more, you read a story of one of the servants, freshly appointed, newly prayed over, and commissioned to serve in Christ's church. And he looks like the kind of guy who's got it all going on, the kind of guy it should go well for. But you see for him that it quickly turns into one of the worst possible times in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see him performing great signs and wonders among the people, and yet there are those who would like to stop him, to put an end to this entire business. And so they make stuff up. They lie. They conspire. They accuse falsely and they succeed. They get him on trial. And you don't hear this in our text. Thank you very much, lectionary committee. But this servant tries to carry out the ministry as faithfully as he can. He tells them a great story of all the things he's learned and heard about Jesus Christ. And he does a great job. He's got mega gifts, you could say. He's got exegetical chops. He knows the scriptures inside and out. His knowledge of Israel's history would impress even the historians among us today. His doctrine is on point. Never heard a temple theology quite like that. And on top of it all, man, can the guy communicate a story about Jesus? He's so good that Luke actually gives him more text than a lot of other famous guys in the book of Acts. He's using his gifts and he's using them well. It looked like a great time to be in the ministry. But where does that get him? It gets him in front of an angry mob who rushes at him, seizes him, tosses him outside the city, and begins to throw stones at him. And not just throw stones, hurling them with the kind of vigor that requires them to take off their garments. They're into this, and they want him gone. I read a text like this, and I have an inner conflict. I thought it was a great time to be in the ministry. What in the world is going on with this text? And for me, 4 years ago, as an excited seminarian ready to get into the ins and outs of pastoral ministry, I would have wanted to throw away this text completely, shrugging it off, and keeping my eyes fixed firmly on the present, on the great time it truly is to be in the ministry, and leave all of these terrible times behind me. But you know, something happens over the course of a year, over the course of 4 years, over the course of a lifetime, not only for seminarians, but for all Christians. And I think that's why it's appropriate for us to hear a text like this one on this day, so close to the end of the year. Stuff happens in the life of a Christian that actually makes this text easier to hear and, in fact, necessary to hear. What happens, you ask? Ministry happens. Occasions behind the pulpit or in front of the altar, visits to bedsides, times in prayer and devotion, alone or with others, questions, conversations over beer, tears shed over coffee, awkward invitations, messy conversations, meetings, a little potato salad, controversy, birth and death. Ministry happens. And pretty soon enough, ministry happens, and you feel as if that it's a great time to be in the ministry, fired up kind of feeling is slipping from your grasp. And pretty soon, another feeling and another attitude grips you. An attitude that causes you to wonder and question, saying maybe it isn't such a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a great time to get out of the ministry altogether. Maybe it's a great time to do something else, anything else. And the ministry keeps happening, and pretty soon you're finding yourself overwhelmed and completely incompetent. And the days march forward, and pretty soon you roll into McDonald's to order your breakfast, and as you're waiting for your change, all of a sudden the man standing behind the cash register takes on a new light for you. And you think to yourself, he's actually got it pretty good today, I think. He knows what he's getting himself into when he shows up for work. Or maybe you're sitting on your porch when the garbage truck rolls up, and the man steps off of his post at the end of the truck, grabs your smelly bags, and tosses them into the compactor. And you think to yourself, I'll bet that guy's got it pretty good too. He shows up to work every day and can actually measure what he does. The day ends and he can see tangible results. And not only that, the world is actually a little less messy because he decided to show up to work today. Maybe it's a great time to get out of the ministry. Maybe it's a great time to go do something else, anything else. And for those of you who've experienced life as a Christian, or life in pastoral or diaconal ministry, even if it's just on vicarage or at your field work, I wouldn't be surprised if you've asked similar sorts of questions. And I think it's exactly those kinds of questions, those kinds of wonderings, those kinds of struggles that transform this text into something we can hear and into something we need to hear. Because when you've been in a place where you feel completely and totally incompetent and overwhelmed, all of a sudden you read this story and you're not looking at the servant who occupies more than 50 verses in a chapter. Instead, you are looking for the one who calls this servant. And the beautiful thing about our text is that you see that person. And you discover that Stephen the servant was there to point to someone else the entire time. Behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And there you are, in what may feel like the worst possible time in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you, along with Stephen, gaze into heaven and you see the Son of Man standing there. And you begin to realize, if God is present with his servant 2,000 years ago, maybe he does the same thing today. And you see him, and instantly you recall a story of the ministry. And you begin to remember that none of this was ever about you. The story of ministry was never about you. It was about Jesus, the one who possessed the ministry from the beginning and came to this earth to fulfill it in marvelous ways by dying and rising to brand new life. And now he stands at the right hand of God and continues to fulfill that ministry. He's in the exact place he said he would be, with you. And more than that, he's active, he's working, he's doing the ministry even to this day. And you encounter our text, and for just a moment, you see that God is doing something beyond our comprehending. As you watch a man standing there approving of this execution, guarding the coats, you see in him that God is about to take someone as far away from him as possible, draw him near, and then send him out to the ends of the earth with a message the world so desperately needs to hear. It's a great time to be in the ministry, even in this text. Why? Because the ministry belongs to Jesus. And because the ministry belongs to Jesus, he is with his servants. And more than that, he is working in the world. And so today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we too have sandwiched ourselves yet again into this chapel, perhaps not knowing what to expect or what we're getting ourselves into, but we're here on purpose. And as the year comes to a close, we're caught up in the excitement of a variety of things. Graduation, entry into first calls and vicarage assignments, deaconess internships, or even just a much-needed summer vacation. But let us not get so caught up in that excitement that we miss the gifts offered to us in this text. Gifts of Jesus standing at the right hand of God, owning the ministry, fueling the ministry, and accomplishing the ministry, even through servants like us. It's a great time to be in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.